holding in the middle of Chavches on the Beis. The line begins Mashkachas. We started discussing yesterday something that we had back in the first parak, that our Mishnah had mentioned on Omer Aleph, that you can have a case, even though normally we say when you have two women who are both, who are sisters, who are up for Chalitza or Yibum, we say that because of the problem of a Achos Kukasai, you can't do Yibum with either one of them, because one is the Kukasai and the other one is the Achos Kukasai, and therefore you have to do Chalitza with one or both of them, as the case may be. Nevertheless, though, we said, whether the Mishnah had mentioned that if one of them is an erva to one of the brothers, then it's okay, because then she's not dokuk to him. And we said, by the same token, if each one of them is an erva to one of the brothers, one is an erva to one, the other is an erva to the other, but neither one is an erva to, one is an erva to one, but not the other, and vice versa, then each one can cross over and do yibum with, for example, the other one's mother-in-law or whatever, all the different cases that we had over there.
Beyond the two ervas, it's more tough.
Right. In other words, the Erva's sister is not the Erva's sister is mother. So we said yes. Well, the Mishnah had talked. The Mishnah had talked about sisters, but yeah. Now, so we had Reb Chiya mention the concept that you can actually find. He said you can find examples of that using all of the Ervas that were mentioned in the first Mishnah of the Masechta. And in all those cases, you can construct a case where you have two women, each of whom is the same kind of erva to one of the brothers. For example, each one of them is one of the brother's mother-in-law, or each one of them is a daughter-in-law, or whatever, et cetera. And then you have that each one is mutter to marry the one who is not his mother-in-law or daughter-in-law, et cetera. Now, so we started saying so we said yesterday that actually we had three different ways of looking at it. We had Rav Yehuda had said that actually it doesn't apply to all 15 cases. He said it all. Well, I realized that I'd missed something that Rashi says. It's not really, it only applies to 9. Technically, according to Rav Yehuda, it can apply to 14 out of the 15 cases. The only one that it wouldn't apply to is the case of daughters. Because like we said yesterday, the only way that the daughter could be mutter, the only way that if the two brothers were at one time or another with the same woman, the only way that the daughters of that woman can be mutter to each of the brothers, to each of those brothers, would be if they weren't married to her, if it was out of wedlock. Technically, with all the other cases that we had at the beginning of the Mishnah, over there, granddaughters and wife's daughters and so on and so forth, with those you could have it. But we think of those six as being like one unit of the Mishnah. There's one unit that deals with daughters or stepdaughters or granddaughters or whatever, and then we have other units of the Mishnah that talk about various other in-laws or mothers-in-law or daughters-in-law or sisters-in-law, etc. Meaning that we said yesterday that the only way it would be possible to construct a case where you have two sisters, where one of them is the daughter of one brother and the other is the daughter of the other brother, and we're going to say that they're mutter to each other, the only way that could happen is if the two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, had raped this woman or otherwise had relations with her out of wedlock. It wouldn't work either. No. The point is that then the daughters aren't, that their own daughter is an erva to themselves, sure, but she's not an erva to his brother.
Right.
Right, that's right. So technically, what we're saying is, Rav Yehuda is saying, yes, you could. So that's true as far as that. We'll exclude that from Rav Chiya's rule because we don't want to say, we would rather say that Rav Chiya's rule only applies to cases where someone is born in wedlock. Which all the other cases, at the beginning of the mission over there, a granddaughter or a wife's daughter or whatever, all of those you could construct using actual marriages. So when he says that you're excluding the first six, he's not saying you're excluding the first six because none of those six can be constructed with marriage. He just means the first one out of those six. Those six form one unit of the Mishnah. Anyway, that was one way of looking at it. The second way we had was Abaya, who says that no, the fact of the matter is you can have daughters who are also to one and mutter to the other and vice versa. So okay, it can only happen through rape. Okay, Zolzain Azoy. But you only want to have, the first Mishnah is going to be dealing with cases that everybody agrees with. The 14th case of the first Mishnah in the Masechta, Eish HaSachar Shalai Rabbi Lamai, we're going to have soon. We're going to have at the end of this Amud that Rav Shimon argues, we have this back in the first parak, that Rav Shimon argues and says that in certain cases it is allowed and in certain cases not allowed. So Abaya says then the only way you could construct a case involving Eish HaSachar Shalai Rabbi Lamai, where one woman will be mutter to one of the brothers and also to another one, and vice versa, would only be according to Rav Shimon. We don't want to say that. We want to say that the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, and Reb Chiya's explanation of it goes according to everybody. Therefore, we have to exclude that. Now comes Rav Safra, again, the line begins Mashkachas, that little past the middle of the Amud. Rav Safra matagamaf eshazachav shalahi b'alamay. Rav Safra says no, Rav Chiya's rule can even apply to that case of eshazachav shalahi b'alamay. Or Mashkachas lo b'shita achi v'alibad Rav Shimon. You could find it if there were six brothers, and it would work according to Rav Shimon. We discussed this on Daf Tes.
So
you could have a case involving six brothers, where according to Rav Shimon, you can end up with that of the two women, one of them is mutter to one brother and not to the other, and vice versa. The simanach, and the way to remember the order of what happened with these brothers, mes nolad v'yibim, mes nolad v'yibim. You have one brother dies, another brother is born, then one of the existing brothers does yibum. And again, it repeats the same thing. Another brother dies, another brother is born, and another brother does yibum.
That's where you have one mutar for one brother.
So let's go through the case. Let's go through the case stage by stage. You start out with that your four brothers. You start out with your four brothers. Two of them are married to two sisters.
What are the blue? The brothers?
The blue oval brothers. Yeah, they're all color coded blue to show that they're brothers. Two of them are married to two sisters. Stage number one, Reuven dies. Now Rachel is up for Yibum to either Levi, she's Skuka, to either Levi or Yehuda. She's not Zakuk to Shimon because he's married to her sister. So she's a Chosishtei. At that point, a new brother, Yisachar, is born. Now, remember, Rachel has not actually done Yibum yet. She hasn't been Yisyabim yet. Even Reb Shimon agrees that in that case she remains Osir to Yisachar, because when he was born she was still Osir to him.
He was born before
any Yibum happened. No, but after Reuven died, so he's Shalai Ha'ibai Lamai, but before the Yibum. Next, Levi goes and does Yibum with Rachel. So far we have the first three stages. The Mes, Reuven died, Noilad, Yisachar is born, the Yibim, and Levi did Yibum with Rachel. Next. Stage four, Shimon now dies, and now Leah is up for Yibum. Who are the possible Yuvamim who can do Yibum with her? It can't be Levi, because at this point he's married to Rachel, and she would be Achos Ishtoi. It can only be Yehuda or Yisachar. Both Yehuda and Yisachar were Hayah by Lamai of Shimon. There's no problem with that.
Okay. Say that again. They were both alive.
They both were alive when Shimon was alive.
Right.
So there's no question, even according to the Chachamim, either Yehuda or Yisachar can do Yibum with Leah.
He was born after
Reuven died.
Yeah.
He was still alive. He was born when Shimon was still alive.
He would be also to
Reuven's wife ever,
but not to
Shimon's wife. So now, at that point, again, before any Yibum has been done with Leah, Zvulun is born. He is, again, Eshesach of Shalahe B'alamai to Shimon.
Right.
On the other hand, here's the key point. According to Reb Shimon, because at that point Rachel has already been Nisyabim, she is Mutter to Zvulun. Now, according to the Chachamim, not, because the Chachamim would say it doesn't matter whether...
According to
Reb Shimon, because she was Nisyabim to Levi, we ignore the fact that she was ever married to Reuven.
Not according to the Chachamim.
Not according to the Chachamim. We're talking according to Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon.
Right.
Once, since the Yibum was done before Zvulun was born, then Rachel is eventually going to be mutter to Zvulun. On the other hand, Leah won't, because Leah...
According to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter.
According to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter. According to the Chachamim, both the women are also to both of the new brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But according to Reb Shimon, Rachel will eventually be mutter to Zvulun.
Right.
Leah never will, because Leah was nafla the Yibum, and Yibum had not yet been done at the time that Zvulun was born. So Zvulun has the exact same problem marrying Leah as Yisachar would marrying Rachel. The bottom line is, Yehuda goes and does Yibum with Leah. If now Levi and Yehuda die, then you have, here's Rachel, here's Leah. Rachel is only available to Zvulun, according to Reb Shimon. And Leah is only available to, and Leah is only available to Yisachar, yeah.
Only according to
Reb Shimon, right.
The Chachamim wouldn't have.
According to the Chachamim, both Rachel and Leah would be also to both Yisachar and Zvulun. Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. So So therefore, so now, given that Rachel and Leah here are sisters, and given that they're both Yuvamos, you have exactly the case of our Mishnah. You have two sisters who are Yuvamos, where one is also to one brother and mutter to the other, and vice versa. That works according to Reb Shimon. So yes, if you assume that Reb Sakra is saying, if you allow the first Mishnah and Reb Chiya's explanation of it to be done even according to Reb Shimon, then yes, you can construct a case even involving Eishes Achav Shalahi by Lamai where this will work out. As opposed to Abaye would say that no, we want it to go according to everybody, and the Chachamim don't agree with that.
And the Chachamim would not agree with that.
Right.
But
so then now, so, right.
It would agree, but not.
Right. So the Gemara spells out what happened. Reuven v'Shimon nesuin shtei achoyas. Suppose that Reuven and Shimon were married to two sisters, Levi v'Yehuda nesuin shtei nochrias, and Levi and Yehuda. Now, in the diagrams we have here, we assume that Levi and Yehuda weren't married. We could instead assume that Levi and Yehuda were married to unrelated women.
When they died.
No, while at some point before any of the Yibumim started happening. The important point of that is that way we can have the tzaris. Mes Reuven, no lid yisachal v'yibim Levi. So now we have Reuven dies, Levi does yibum, and then, Reuven dies, Yisachar is born, then Levi does yibum with Rachel. Those are the first three stages that we said. Mes Shimon, no lid zvulun v'yibim Yehuda. Then you have the other three stages. Shimon dies, Zvulun is born, and Yehuda does yibum. Now, Mesu Levi v'Yehuda v'Leib Bonim, Levi and Yehuda also died childless for Naphtali, Kami Yisachar is Hulun. And now, these two women, Rachel and Leah, as well as their respective tzaros, are now up for Yibum to Yisachar and Zvulun.
According to
Reb Shimon. Hasurul Zemuteros Zev, Hasurul Zemuteros Zev. Right. So that's why we want to mention the tzaros, because since the first Mishnah of the Masechta had mentioned that Poitras Tzaresein, but Tzaresein, Tzaresein, then this is how we can also have tzaris involved over here also. If we assume that Levi and Yehuda, besides eventually doing Yibum with Rachel and Leah respectively, they also had other wives. Which then becomes the question. So there you have the case. Asurul Zemu Teru Sazev, Asurul Materu Zemu Sazev, V'achoy Tashi Yivimta, and you have the case that two sisters are Yevamos. The question, though, is, Lama li Yibim Yehuda? Why do we need to have Yehuda in the picture over here? Below Yibim Yehuda, nami mashkachasla. Suppose you had only five brothers. You could still construct the same case. Suppose there's no Yehuda. Similar example, but you only have five brothers. Two of them died. Two new ones were born. You again have that one of them is accessible to Zvulun, the other one is accessible to Yisachar. What do you need Yehuda in there for? Why do you need Dr. Six brothers?
What was the case of six brothers?
We had six brothers. So we had Levi and Yehuda wound up doing Yibum respectively with Rachel and Leah. But what's the difference? Either way, we said that when Zvulun was born, no Yibum had been done yet.
In
the case with the six brothers, three, four, and eventually five,
two.
Six. Two newly born brothers. But ultimately, we're saying that Yehuda, we're saying it doesn't really matter whether Yehuda wound up doing Yibum or not.
Right.
So what do we need Yehuda in the picture for at all? Just say it was five brothers.
Okay.
The answer is, Mishum Tzara. Yes, but we want to mention, the first Mishnah of the Masechta had mentioned Tzaraith. That's not going to work if you don't have Yehuda in the picture, because then you're not going to have cases where the Tzaraith would be accessible respectively to Yisachar as Zvulun, because you only have one brother, Levi, who did the original Yibum. And you want two in order to be able to have the Tzaraith. Okay, Hotenach Tzara, Tzara the Tzara, Ma'ifil Meimer. Fine. With six brothers, though, how are you going to have a case of Tzara Tzarasai? Where we said Parjus Tzoresein, Vatzoris Tzoresein, where would you have that case of a Tzara of a Tzara? If you remember back to the beginning of the Masechta, the Tzara of the Tzara was, for example, we said that you started out with Reuven, had two wives. We said Shimon wound up doing Yibum with the Tzara you had Reuven's daughter married Shimon. We said that Shimon dies. Reuven can't do chalitza or yibum with his daughter. There's no zika there. Therefore, the tzara is potter. On the other hand, Levi can go do chalitza or yibum with either one. He said if he does yibum with the tzara, plus he has a wife of his own, later on Levi dies, and then we bring in Yehuda and Yisachar and so forth. We go on and on. Eventually, if we come out that the only surviving brother is Reuven, even though his daughter is long since out of the picture, because, for example, Levi or Yehuda or Yisachar was never married to his daughter. He was only married to a tzara of a tzara, a woman who was a tzara of his daughter. Nevertheless, we say there's still potter. So with six brothers, how do you construct that? How do you construct the case? We have two sisters. The answer is, we have to expand it to eight brothers.
Six is not enough.
If we have eight brothers, then we're able to work out the cases in more detail. That you can see over here the diagrams on these couple of pages. It gets pretty complicated. But again, the gist of it is that God, for example,
with six brothers, one brother cannot marry. There's no brother that can marry across.
Well, with six brothers, what we're saying is each one is able to marry the one where yibum was done before they were born. So therefore, we said that Yisachar ends up being able to do, according to Rav Shimon, Yisachar ends up being able to do yibum with Leah. Because he and Shimon were in the world at the same time. He was born before Shimon died. And Zvulun ends up being able to do Yibum with Rachel, because Yibum with her was done. Levi had done Yibum with her before Zvulun was ever born, and according to Shimon, that's good enough.
Right.
If we want to have a case of Tzareseyan, which means that some of these women were married more than one time, and we still wind up having that of sisters, one can be mutter to one and also to the other, and vice versa, then you need to introduce, first of all, a second set of sisters. That's the ones in yellow over here. And second of all, you need to introduce two more brothers, God and Asher. And then it gets very complicated, but at the end, what you wind up having is because God and Asher had been married, had done Yibum respectively with Sarah and Rivka, who are the tzarais of the original sisters, Sarah and Rivka, you still wind up having that of Sarah and Rivka, one of them is only mutter to Yisachar, and one of them is only mutter to Zvulun. That's the tzarais
Sehem. That's only with...
You would have to have eight brothers.
Eight brothers.
Yeah. So you need six, you need five brothers in order to have a case of sisters who are Yivamos, where one can do Yibum with one and the other can do Yibum with the other and not have a problem of a Chosku Kasos. You need six in order to have the same thing work with Tzoros, and you need eight to have it work with Tzoros Tzoros.
According to Rav Shimon,
right. Mishnah says, Shlosha Achin, if you have three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters. We quoted this in the previous parak. Two of them are married to two sisters. Or Isho Vita, or you have the two brothers. One of them is married. One of them is married to a woman, and the other one is married to her daughter. Or Isho Vasbita, Isho Vasbina. One's married to a woman, and the other's married to the woman's granddaughter. Harei lecholtus v'loy misyabnus. So now these women are going to have to do chalitza, not yibum. Why? We talked about this. We had the explanation of Rava in the previous parak, who wanted to say that we're talking about a case where you have four women who are you have a woman and her sister and one of the woman's daughters and her granddaughter or something like that. And we said that's not what the Mishnah means. What the Mishnah means is that the Mishnah means is like this. Let's see where the diagram of it is. The vote is like this.
Three brothers.
The vote is like this. Two of the brothers were married to two sisters. Now again, when the two brothers die, and the third brother has a zika to the two of them, but again, you have the same problem that we've been discussing all this time of a chos kukosai. And it's not just achos, it applies to these other relatives as well. The reason where Tosfos Yom Tov explains, the reason why we've always been saying achos kukase is because the whole concept of that, the whole concept of a sister being usher, we learn from that pasuk Lisra, especially according to the Shimon we're going to talk about now. So therefore we use that as a paradigm, but the same thing applies if it's any other kind of relative, any other kind of error. So therefore, again, you have the problem, you're also to do Yibum with either one of them. But Midaraisa you'd be able to, because Midaraisa there's no Israel. So therefore, you have to do Chalitza with both of them. Rav Shimon
Potter,
since there's no Daraisa. Right. Rav Shimon Potter, but Rav Shimon says that they're Potter. Meaning you don't need Chalitza. You obviously can't do Yibum according to him either, but you don't even have to do Chalitza according to him. We're going to say in the Gemara he learns it from Potter. If one of the women is also to him himself is an Isra Erva, so we're not talking about the two women are arayas relative to each other, like two sisters or whatever, where you can't marry both of them. We're talking about you yourself can't marry one of them because she's an Erva to you, let's say your mother-in-law, and the other one is not. Then everybody agrees, even Rav Shimon, you also, and her, your mother and her sister. There's no question about that.
So the mother-in-law and her sister.
But you're mother to the sister. Isur mitzvah, isur kedusha. However, if one of these women is also only because of a mitzvah, only because of shnius, or isur kedusha, or she's also because she's a mamzeres or grusha and he's a kohen or whatever, chaltus v'le misyamus, then we're back to the same case where we say, since midaraisa there would be a zikah, then you need chalitza and you can't do yibum. Basically, the Gemara is going to point out, I mean, the last half of this Mishnah seems to be repetitive, it's repeating what we've learned before, and basically what we're going to say is we need to be told that according to Rav Shimon as well. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Tanya, Rav Shimon poter b'shtein min chalitza min ayibum. Rav Shimon says that in this case, you have two brothers who are married to two sisters, and then the third brother is supposed to be having a zikah to one or the other of them. So we said according to the Rabbanan who argue with Rav Shimon, we said midarais you'd be able to do one or the other, and it's only midrabbanan you can't because chalitza kukase. Rav Shimon is saying you don't need chalitza at all. Midarais you could, because you could do either one, because there's no issue of chalitza kukase. Midrabbanan there's a chalitza kukase, so you can't. Rav Shimon is saying that's not a matter of midrabbanan, that's actually a thing midaraisa. And since it's midaraisa, then there's no zikah to either one of them.
That
you're unable to do yibum with either one of them, and therefore they're both potter. As opposed to according to the chachamim, midaraisa they be chayev, and therefore you have to do chalitza.
What does he take that from?
Shenemar, because the pasuk says, v'isha lachosa shimon poter b'shem and chalitza mina yibum. Shenemar, v'isha lachosa loisikach litzro. We learned this pasuk before that a woman and her sister, you're not allowed to marry them litzro to make them rivals, which means b'sha shenasu tzaris zulazu. It means if you're going to have a situation where they are going to be rivals to each other, meaning that you have both of them are up for yibum to him, and on the face of it, he should have to do yibum with both of them, which makes them rivals. Then Rav Shimon says, what the pasuk means is you do not have a way to marry even one of them. There's no lekuchen, in other words, kedushin are not toifas. If kedushin are not toifas, in other words, they're considered arayas to you, both of them. Because they're sisters, or because they're a mother and daughter, etc., then therefore neither of them is available to you. Both of them are considered arayas to you. No, it sort of does mean Saras as we usually understand it, because suppose that he was going to be able to do Yibum with both of them, which again, according to the Chachamim, he would be allowed to do, he would have to do Midaraisa, then they would be rivals to each other, there would be two wives of the same man. But because Rav Shimon is saying that in this case, what the Torah itself is specifically implying is if there is a relationship, if there's a relationship Midaraisa between these two women, which would make them Saras, if you were to do Yibum, then not only you don't do Yibum with one, you don't do Yibum with either one. And that means there's no zikah at all. No zikah, therefore no chalitza. Therefore they're pasuk. We're talking according to Rav Shimon. But we said hoisa achas mehen chula, that if one of them was only aser, that if one of them was aser to him as an iser erva and the other not, so we're not just talking about their two sisters, but we're talking about that one of them, for example, is his mother-in-law and the other one is his mother-in-law's sister, then we said he's aser in the one and he's mutter in the other. The question is, hotu lomali, what do we need to say this for? Hainu hach, this is the same as we had in the previous mission. The answer is that Rav Shimon is tzrich. Yes, but we need now to be told that Rav Shimon agrees with that also. What did we say? We just finished saying that Rav Shimon says it's not just a Gzeira Midrabanan. It's actually Midaraisa, that if you have two sisters who are Noifel Liyibum, that neither one is there, that neither one are you allowed to do Yibum with. Midaraisa. So therefore, you would think, Ligzum Rav Shimon Beis Achoyes Alma. So maybe you should make a Gzeira. So okay, in this case, you're saying one of the sisters is actually his mother-in-law, which makes him also to him Midaraisa anyway. Still, people might not realize that distinction. People might see you're doing Yibum with one of them. People might think that, hey, if you have two sisters, you're allowed to do Yibum with one of them. They're not going to realize that this case is a little bit different. But yeah.
Right. So you would think. And they focus on the sister.
Right. So you would think maybe we should make such a Gzeira. Kamash Malon, that's what Rav Shimon is telling us, that there's no reason to make such a Gzeira. We're not worried about that.
Well, that doesn't stand with a Chacham.
The Chachamim, we already learned it in the previous Mishnah. Yeah. Then we said, the Mishnah continued, Isur Mitzvah Chola, that if one of them is only also as Shniyos, then we said that Choltus will live in Siabmus. The question is, the Gemara asks, V'ha'am Reb Shimon, Shtei Achoyis, like Choltus will live in Siabmus. Didn't we just say that according to Reb Shimon, you have two sisters who are Noifel Liyibum, neither one needs Chalitza or Yibum? Why all of a sudden is the fact that one of them is Shniyos makes it that now you need to do Chalitza? According to him, the same rule that you said, Midaraisa, there's no need to, there's no zika here at all. There's no need to do chalitza or yibum in the case of two sisters that are noifel yibum. So if one of them is shnias to you, how does that change anything? Enters gzeira mishum isur mitzvah d'alma. Yes, but in this case we will make a gzeira and say that you need to do chalitza, because people are not going to realize that people are going to think that an Isur Mitzvah is the equivalent of an Erva. Then people are going to think that a woman is also to you only as an Isur Mitzvah, only as Shnias, and she doesn't have a sister. Maybe you shouldn't need Yibum or Chalitza at all. She should be able to marry whoever she wants. And the fact is not. Even Rav Shimon agrees if she doesn't have a sister and she's only also as Shnias, there's no question she needs Chalitza. There's no question there is a Zika Midaraisa. So because of that, in order to avoid that kind of misconception, even if she has a sister, where it's true, and sister is also her Yavama, where it's true, normally Rav Shimon would say that they're all Pater. But in this case, in order that people should realize that an Isser Mitzvah really does need Chalitza on her own, then we're going to say in this case that you need Chalitza as well.
Whereas we could have thought the opposite.
We could have thought that we use Rav Shimon's usual rule, that sister is a Pater from Chalitza and Yavama, and that's that.
Here...
Because we want to uphold this idea of Shnias. We want to make sure that people are aware that Shnias, that we want to make sure that people are aware that a Shnia does need, that a Shnia does have a Zika, if there's no sister involved. Yeah. Okay, fine, I understand then why she herself, the Isur Mitzvah, the Shnia, why she needs Chalitza. Why should you need to do Chalitza for the sister?
Right, it does.
On the face of it, not. The answer is gzeira achos mishum lesa dida. True, but we want to make a gzeira that the sister will have to do chalitza because she may because of herself. But lesa literally. One second. First of all, Rashi explains the word lesa literally means mazel, like the mazel of one versus the mazel of the other. Rashi says really yitur losha. The Gemara didn't need to use the word lesa. The point is that once we're saying that the shnia herself needs chalitza because of the gzeira, we want to also, by the same token, make that her sister at that point needs chalitza in order that people don't confuse the two.
Is it zero on its zero?
Apparently, Rav Shimon would hold that in this case it's not. Either it's all part of one zera, or sometimes we see zera for zera when, if you don't make the second zera, the first one will fall away. Will fall, yeah. So because of that,
didn't make a second Shnia Zera, we would think that she would.
If we didn't say that the sister needs Chalitza as well, people will confuse the two sisters, and they're going to again think that the Isser Mitzvah herself, that the Shnia herself, does not need Chalitza, when in fact she does. Okay, I think I'm going to ask about Gabe Erva like Gazrinan. But we see when it comes to an Erva, we don't make such a Gzera. If one of the sisters herself is an erva, one of the sisters is his mother-in-law, for example, we don't say that. We don't say that the erva herself should do chalitza so that people don't think that ordinarily she'd be potter if she wasn't an erva. The answer is shiny erva de big magmiri la inchi. It's different with an erva. People know. People know that an erva does not need chalitza. That there's no zika there at all. And people know therefore that her sister is not an achos skuka.
Because
everybody knows the difference between an erva, right? But kala isla, and everybody there's a kol for it. Everybody knows that so and so is so and so in law is that Pliny's mother-in-law or whatever. As opposed to a shnia, is not necessarily so obvious. That's one way of explaining this question and answering the Gemara. The other this last question about the erva that's one explanation of Rashi. The other explanation is that the question is why in the case of an erva. Do we say that the sister is allowed to do yibum? If you're saying in the case of a shnia, you're not going to allow the sister to do yibum because she may be confused with her sister who is a shnia, and you can't, then by the same logic, if the sister is an erva, the same logic should apply. No, not exactly this question. And in particular, remember we're talking according to Reb Shimon. Now this is a new thing, Reb Shimon's opinion we haven't had before. That he says that when you have two women who are related, and who are ervas to each other, basically, and both of them are up for yibum to the same man, that we're saying they're pater mederaisa. That's a new thing we haven't had till now. We've always been talking about achos skukasai all this time, but we've been talking according to the chachamim that it's only midrabanan.
The
shnia
of an erva. That's what I was
saying. Well, shnia means a shnia of an erva, but that's the thing. In other words, we're saying that if one sister is an erva, there's no problem in allowing the other sister to do yibum because according to the second explanation of Rashi, because it's very obvious that the reason why she's allowed is because she's not a chos skukasa. There's no other skuka over here because she's his mother-in-law or whatever. As opposed to in a case of shnias or whatever, there is reason to make a gzera that both of them need chalitz and neither of them is allowed to do yibum. Mishnah says, Shloisha Achin, now a new case, you have three brothers, Shnayim Nesuim Shtei Achoyas, two of them are married to two sisters, the Echad Mufna, and one is unmarried. Which really, actually, technically the mission doesn't really have to say that the third one is unmarried. The same din that we're going to talk about in our Mishnah would apply if the third one is married to an unrelated woman. The reason why, Tosfos Yeshanim says, the reason why we're mentioning that he's unmarried is because we're going to wind up saying that he winds up losing both possibilities of Yibum. So like he winds up, poor guy, he can't get married to either of them at all. As opposed to if he was already married, okay, he's already married at least.
But it was.
Yeah. So, here the wrinkle is like this. So you have two brothers, so you have three brothers, two of them are married to two sisters, which is the same case we've been talking about all this time. The wrinkle is, mes echad mibalei achoyus, one of the brothers who's married to one of the sisters dies, the Reuven dies, which normally then we would say, okay, Shimon, the usual, Shimon can't do Yibum with her, Levi can, so Levi does Yibum with Rachel and everything's good. The wrinkle is, v'asabam mufna maimer, instead of doing full Yibum, Levi only did maimer with her at this point, which we said is kiddushin. And then v'achakach mes achiv asheni, and then the second brother, Shimon, died. Now the problem is you have that Rachel is tied to him midrabanan because we're going to talk about in the Gemara whether it's midrabanan or midrabanan. Rachel is tied to him because of the Maimer. Shimon, on the face of it, is zakuk to him, not Shimon, Leah, Shimon's wife, on the face of it, is zakuk to him also. So you have a problem, again, of two sisters. You have to have a problem of achos skukasai. But after all, the other way you could look at it is he really is married to Rachel already. So you could look at
based
it either based on the Maimer. So you could look at it, he's married to Rachel, and in that case, Leah is not up for Yibum Bechal. She's Pater because she's Achos Ishtei. And Achos Ishtei is definitely Pater Midaraisa, according to everybody. Or you could say that not. The only Maimer was done, and therefore maybe you have the problem of Achos Kukase.
So you
would
say Achos Ishtei after a Maimer is according to Rabbi Shimon?
No, we're not even talking about according to Reb Shimon or not. This is a different machlokas.
So who is it according to? I mean, the Torah doesn't talk about that.
The Torah doesn't talk about Maimer, but we're going to talk about in the Gemara that actually according to Reb Shimon, maybe it does.
Sorry, it could be according to Reb Shimon.
Not Reb Shimon, sorry, Beit Shammai.
Oh, Beit Shammai.
Beit Shammai. So, Beit Shammai, so Beit Shammai says his wife, meaning the one he did Maimer with, Rachel, can stay with him. And the other one is Potter, because she's Achos Ishtei. Rachel will go ahead and marry Levi. He can finish up. He's done the Maimer. He can do Yibum. He can stay married to her.
Right.
And Leah is Potter. Well, yeah, it's possible because there's nobody else available to do Yibum or Chalitza with her. No, Vesilo says Moitzias Ishti Beget of a Chalitza. He has to actually divorce Rachel. He has to give her a get to take care of the Maimer, and the one who he originally did Maimer with. He has to give her a get to the Maimer, and he has to give her Chalitza for the fact that after all he still had the Zika with her, and the Eishes Achiv a Chalitza. And on top of that, he's going to have to do Chalitza with Leah as well. Zuhi Sha'amru, this is a case where the Chachamim said, Oilai al Ishtav, Oilai al Eishes Achiv, woe to him about his wife, and woe to him about his brother's wife. In other words, he comes out having nothing. He thought he's going to be able to do Chalitza, he thought he's going to be able to do Yibum with one of them. Turns out he can't do Yibum with either of them, according to Basilil.
Because of his Maimah.
Yep.
Instead of doing straightforward Yibum.
Well, Midrabanan, you're supposed to do Maimah first, but the problem was that before he had a chance to do Yibum, then Shimon died. If Shimon had only died after he had done full Yibum, there wouldn't be a problem, yeah. Something more asked. Zuhi l'mu'utmai. Life isn't always fair.
No, fair. They made a takana to do a mimer, and because of their takana, he cannot do Yibum with either of them.
Okay, sometimes that happens. You know what? We're gonna have a case later in the Masechta also where a person is engaged to a woman, he winds up not being able to marry her because of an issue of Yibum. Wait, well, you know, we're gonna have cases. So, the Gemara asks, Zuhi l'mu'utimai. The last line of the Mishnah had said that this is the case where the Chachamim said, woe to him because of his wife and woe about his brother's wife. L'mu'utimai, what does that come to exclude? In all these Mishnahs, we've been saying whenever the Mishnah says Zuhi, it means only in this specific case can we say this line, but otherwise not. The answer is L'mu'uti hachter Rabbi Yeshua delay of din and kavasei. It comes to exclude the case of Rabbi Yeshua where we don't follow him, Ela Ikir Rabban Gamliel, Ikir Rabban Eliezer, but rather we follow either Rabban Gamliel or Rabban Eliezer. Which is, we talked about this briefly a few days ago. We had a situation, the mission is going to discuss it in one of the last parakim of the Masechta. You have a case where a brother is married to his brother's daughter.
The case we're trying to exclude, the Zuhi.
The Zuhi. We're trying to exclude the following case. We have a case that we had the one brother was married to his brother's daughter and to another woman, which is a straightforward case of Vas Achiv and Sarasa. But now the wrinkle is that the case was rather you have like this: you have two brothers who are married to two sisters. Here, let's find the diagram for it. Rather than trying to describe it verbally. Yet two brothers married to two sisters. The important point is that one of the sisters was a katana. Now the brother, yeah. So now the brother who was married to the older sister died. Now the question is, what should Shimon do? On the one hand, we should say midaraisa, he should have to do Yibum with Rachel. Midrabanan, though, he's married to her sister, because the Kedusha Ketana are only Midrabanan. The Mishnah, we talked about it briefly in the Gemara there, but the Mishnah is going to talk about it much later in the Masechta, in the Kuf, that there's a three-way machloikas about what you should do. We have Rabbi Yeshua says over there that also, that Shimon winds up having Leah has to do Miun, and he's also to marry Rachel. Leah is the Ketana. She's going to have to do Miyun, and he's also to marry Rachel. So he's stuck. He loses both of them. We had Rabbi Eliezer who says that what you should do is tell Leah to do Miyun. That'll be Oiker her Kedushin, so it'll make it as if she was never married to Shimon, and then he can go ahead and do Yibum with Rachel. And we have Rabban Gamliel who says you don't even need that. You can they can stay married if after Leah becomes a gedolah, if after she becomes bat mitzvah, they remain married and they still have relations. Then fine. And at that point, Rachel becomes potter. We said that at the time that Rabban Gamliel holds mutul of bat mitzvah yibamim, that you're even allowed to work things out in such a way that no yibum will be possible.
For
no, and then this well, and then in a case like this. So therefore, so according to Rabbi Yeshua over there, you wind up, Shimon is in the same situation as the brother in our Mishnah. He winds up losing both potential partners in marriage, the one he's already married to, or at least did Maimer with, and the one that in that case, Kedusha Kana, and the one that he could potentially have done Yibum with. When our Mishnah says, Zuhi Sha'amru, in our case involving the Maimer, is when we say that he loses out doubly. The Mishnah is coming to tell us that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua in that case, later in the Masechta, in the case of the Ketana, to exclude this case, right. So it comes to tell us that rather the halacha is like either Rav Gamliel or Rav Eliezer. Amar Rav Eliezer, Loi Tema Maimer Le Bishamay Kone Kinyan Gomer. Don't think, when our Mishnah says that the Bishamay is saying that the one who did the Maimer is allowed to stay married to the woman he did Maimer with, and we're saying we're not worried about a chos ishtoi. Don't think that Rav Shimon would say that Maimer actually makes a complete kinyan, in the sense that the bar la puki sagla begita, that if at that point he wanted to divorce her, he only needs to give her get. No, even Beit Shammai agrees. Even Beit Shammai agrees he'd have to do chalitza as well. Elam
just for Maimer.
Yeah. Elam, Maimer, the Beit Shammai ain't a kona ela lutchos b'tzara bilvad. But rather, according to Beit Shammai, all the Maimer accomplishes is that the tzara now is pushed away from Yibum. Now, there's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos what we mean over here by the word tzara. Rashi says the word tzara here we're using in a different sense than we've been using it up until now. Up until now, we've always used the word tzara to mean a rival wife, a co-wife. Here, what we're actually using it to mean is her sister. According to Beit Shammai, the fact that Levi did Maimer with Rachel, that's a strong enough thing. It's not strong enough to make it that it could be dissolved by a get. They'd still need chalitza as well. But it's strong enough to push away Leah from Yibum or chalitza, from having to do Yibum or chalitza.
It's not according to Beit Shammai.
We're talking according to Beit Shammai. Tosfos has a long discussion about that, for among other things. I mean, the word tzara means a tzara. What are you talking about? So Tosfos has a completely different explanation of this and of the on Omid Beis as well. They explain the word tzara means exactly what it usually sounds like. That it means that if you have, for example, you have two women who were married. If Reuven over here had two wives, Rachel and another unrelated woman. And you went and did, and you went and did Maimer with one of them. Then, at that point, according to Beit Shammai, the tzara would be potter completely. As opposed to according to Beit Shammai, we would say, no, Maimer is not enough to break the zika. If at that point he decides to not go ahead with the Maimer, or he dies and one of the other brothers has to take over, then they're going to have to do chalitza. Amar Abavin. In fact, we can see that from the words of our Mishnah. We said, the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek. We have the case at the beginning of the Perek where four brothers, and two, we had four brothers, of which two are married to two sisters. We said that the surviving brothers should not do Yibum Machila, they should do Chalitza, because each one is Kokosai and Achoy Kokosai. And we said there that we had according to Rabbi Lazar, the Tana, there was a machlokas Beit Shammai b'Silo, that according to Beit Shammai b'Diyevet, if they married, then we'll allow them to stay married. Beit Shammai, I mean, yikaimu ein l'chatchila loy, which implies that b'Diyevet will allow them to stay married, but l'chatchila no, because you still have the issue of achos kukosei. B'Diyevet
yikaimu l'chatchila loy.
Right. Now, what's the point? How does that prove our point about Maimer? The Isak Daitach Maimer Beit Shammai Kone Kinyan Gomer. If you're going to tell me that Beit Shammai were to think that Maimer makes a real complete Kinyan, as if it was a full-fledged marriage, well then why in the first Mishnah in the Perek would we say that only B'Yevet are they allowed to stay married, that L'Chilo they can't? Zer Yafsam Maimer V'Yikna, Zer Yafsam Maimer V'Yikna. Let one of the surviving brothers do Maimer with one of the sisters, and that'll be Kone her. And that takes her out of the picture. Let the other one do similarly with the other one. And then each one will be able to finish off and do Yibum. Meaning, in other words, Maimer would be enough. In other words, yeah.
Right.
Then once Levi does Maimer with Rachel, for example, right. Then Leah is no longer Achos Kukase.
Right.
And vice versa with the other. So then each one will be able to end up doing Yibum. Obviously then it has to mean according to Beis Shammai, even according to Beis Shammai, that Maimer does not really take the Mum. Because Beis Shammai is saying that Maimer is strong enough to push the other sister out, but not strong enough to make it that she's no longer Achos Kukasei. Elamai. So Gemara asks, so what? You're gonna tell me Deicha Dechia Gemara? So what, you're going to tell me, on the contrary, that you're saying that according to Beis Shammai, Maimer has the power to completely push away the other woman from having to do Chalitza or Yibum at all, which was the case we had over here in the Mishnah. We seem to be saying in our Mishnah that according to Beis Shammai, you did Maimer with... according to Beis Shammai, you did Maimer with one of the women, and at that point we're saying... you're allowed to stay married to her, and you don't have to worry about Leia. Presumably, that means that Leia is completely potter.
And the Mimer is
because of the Mimer. So if you're telling me, so on the contrary, if you're telling me that Mimer has the power to push away the other potential candidate for Yibum completely, then again, how would that work, going back to the first Mishnah of the Perek? Zeh yasem Mimer v'yidche, v'zeh yasem Mimer v'yidche. Fine, you're going to argue then that Mimer does not make a complete kinyan. Fine, but you're arguing at this point that it makes a complete dechia. So fine, let Levi go and do Maimer with Rachel. That'll be enough to completely push Leah out of any potential Yibum with him. Vice versa with Yehuda and Leah. And then again, each one will be able to finish up their Yibum. Again, the fact that we see not, the fact that the Shammai says that only be the Yevet are they allowed to stay married, implies that doesn't work either. Ella, my Yisloch L'meimer. So what would you answer? What's the difference? Maimer de Hetera Dachi de Isur L'Dachi. When would you say that a Maimer has the power to push away the other woman? Is only if it was Beheter, meaning that the Maimer, which could have actually led to Yibum. De Isur L'Dachi, whereas a Maimer, so to speak, a Maimer Puzzle. Not really Puzzle per se, but for example, in this case, in the first Mishnah of the Perek, if Levi does Maimer with Rachel and Yehuda does Maimer with Leah, each of those is a Maimer de Isura. Not that it's often to do the Maimer, but in the sense, it's not a Maimer that at that point is able to lead to Yibum. It would only be able to lead to Yibum when both of them do their respective Maimarim. As opposed to in our case over here, once Levi does Maimer with Rachel, that's a Maimer de Hetera. He would be able to follow up at that point before Shimon dies with Yibum.
That's just because.
Because there's only one brother.
Only one brother.
Okay, but so you can make a distinction between Maimer. Hachinami Maimer Afilu Mandama Maimer Koyin Kinyan Gomer. The same logic then you can say. As far as whether Maimer makes a Kinyan. That even if you're going to argue that Maimer is Koine Kinyan Gomer, you could still argue that Beis Shammai holds that. It's not contradicted by the first Mishnah of our Perek, because again, Maimer de Hetera Koni, de Isura Lo Koni. Same logic, you could argue there's a difference between the Maimer in our case and the two Maimorim of that case. So you don't really have a proof from that one way or the other whether Beis Shammai holds that Maimer makes a full-fledged Kinyan. Does it make her his wife for all purposes or not?
Because one is a case of Hetera and one is not.
And one, right. One is a case of a Maimer that's able to lead to Yibum, and the other one is not. The other one is only able to lead to Yibum after another thing happens, namely the other brother doing Maimer. Now, there's no question, before Shem say, I think the Rashba points out, that even according to Beis Shammai, there's no question the full mitzvah of Yibum is not accomplished until they actually have relations. Yivama Yavay Allah. There's no question about that. All we're discussing is the question, according to Beis Shammai, can we say that Maimer is strong enough that Maimer is strong enough by itself to make that they're considered like So far we haven't proved that, right? Rav Ashi Masni Hafi. Rav Ashi learned the following discussion a little differently. Amar Rav Elazar, Loi Tema Maimer Le Beis Shammai Dochi Dechia Gemura. Don't think that according to Beis Shammai, Maimer completely pushes away the other candidate. V'tzara v'chalitza nami leibaya. And therefore her tzara, which again according to Rashi means her sister, wouldn't even need chalitza. Ela doicha u'mashayahu. But rather, it pushes her away, but not completely. It still leaves something over, and therefore he needs to do chalitza with her. In other words, Rav Ashi understands the situation to be, we're saying according to Beis Shammai, We would say that he's done Maima with Rachel. Fine. That makes Leah unavailable at that point for Yibum. But nevertheless, she still needs Chalitza. It hasn't completely broken her Zika. As opposed to the previous version, was we were saying that we were trying to argue that maybe Beit Shammai would hold that it actually pushes away Leah completely, that she becomes completely puzzled.
Without
Chalitza. And according to this version, Rav Alvin says, yes, we can prove this from the first mission of the Perek, where we said that B'Shamay says they're only allowed to stay married b'di'eved, yukaimu ein l'chatchil aloi. And again, we can use the same logic as we did in the previous version. If you were to say that according to B'Shamay, Maimah completely pushes away the other candidate, then let one do Maimah with Rachel, let the other do Maimah with Leah. That'll push away the other candidate from doing Yibum with him at all. Then there's no problem with Achot Tzukasa, and therefore not. Obviously, therefore, that proves Ravashi's point, that it doesn't completely push her away. Levi, even though he's done Maimah with Rachel, still retains a certain Zika with Leah. Because he has to do Chalitza with her. Yeah, and therefore it's still a problem of Achot Tzukasa. So only B'dieved will we allow it. How does that work? According to this version, we see that Beit Shammai says in the Mishnah, his wife, meaning the one he did Maimah with, can stay with him, and the other one is Potter because she's a Achos Isha. Teise implies that she's completely Potter. She can completely leave and marry whoever she wants. She doesn't even need Chalitza. According to this first version, that works out. D'chi Gemura. In other words, according to the second version, that there's no D'chi Gemura, even according to Beit Shammai, then how is that possible? So obviously we can't use that explanation. Ella. So no, let's give a different answer. Yuvama D'chazil Kulu Chazil Miktsa. So here's a new angle on this. If a Yuvama is able to do either Yibum or Chalitza, then she's also suitable for she's also suitable for Maimer. Yuvama de loy chazi lekulu loy chazi lemiktasa. But if she's not available for if she's able to do either Yibum or Chalitza, then Maimer works. Then Maimer has a power. But if she's not able to do Yibum or Chalitza, loy chazi lemiktasa, then Maimer itself does not really have that same power. So then applying that to the two cases we're dealing with over here. No. In other words, like this. In our case over here, when Levi did Maimah with Rachel, he could have done what? There's three possibilities. Before he did anything, there's three possibilities what he could have done, right? He could have done Maimah, he could have done Yibum without Maimah, or he could have done Chalitza. So therefore, because the two options that are available, Midaraita, Chalitza, or Yibum, are available, therefore Maimah is also available. And because Maimah is available, it's powerful enough to actually push Leah completely out of the running. And therefore, she's even potter from Chalitza. Because that's the only kind of Maimah that's good. As opposed to, in the case at the beginning of the Perek, when we had each of them is Achos Gukosai, we're saying, at that point, when we start out over here, when Reuben and Shimon are dead, at that point, neither Levi nor Yehuda can do Yibum with Rachel or with Leah, because Achos Kukasai. Therefore, even if each of them were to do Maimah with their respective partner, that Maimah is not strong enough to push the other one out of consideration. She still stays Achos Kukasai.
Which is Rabbanan.
It's Rabbanan, but still. So that's the difference. So we are sort of like the distinction we made before between Maimer that was Mutter and Maimer that's Osir. We're making sort of the same distinction over here. That Maimer of Heter, that a Maimer that would be able to lead to Yibum, is able to push the other one out of consideration, and therefore there's no issue of Achos Kukasai. Whereas if it's a weaker Maimer, if it's a Maimer that couldn't have led to Yibum anyway without something else happening, then it's not strong enough to push her out of contention. Let me stop over here.